the council answers. It is especially important in regions where Catholics are few and scattered. In such areas, the laity can exercise only the personal apostolate. Whether in position to cooperate and coordinate their apostolic efforts as a sign of the Church's witness to Christian love. We can take that statement as it stands and say, well, of course, in scattered regions where the number of professed Christians and Catholics is few, those who are there should work together. But notice, it is especially in those scattered regions, scattered not so much geographically, but scattered in terms of faith, the laity are indispensable even for establishing the faith. I may have mentioned this in a previous conference where the Archbishop of Moscow told me, week after week, I have planefuls of missionaries from, you name it, what cult or group, pouring into Moscow. And yet, the number of Catholics almost no organized lay missionary work in Russia. Over 200 million people for more than 70 years have been starved, as you know, in the faith. We're having a meeting of the Russian Commission on Easter Monday in Washington. Pray that there will be more zealous Catholics to spread the true faith, in contrast with the number of cultists, people who do not have the truth, sadly, and yet doing everything in their power to promote what they believe is the truth. Question 53. Where is the group apostolate exercised? The group lay apostolate is exercised, hear it, in their families, in parishes and dioceses, and in associations that are coordinated among the dedicated faithful. Notice, first, in the families. The family, as the present Holy Father keeps repeating, is the foundation for the Church. As the family goes, so goes the Catholic Church. As the family weakens, the Church weakens. As the family is destabilized, the Church is destabilized. And of course it means that within the family, the parents are not just the first in time. They are the primary, indispensable communicators of the true faith to their children. We've touched on this before, but I wish to stress it now. We've defined the apostolate as the communication of grace to others. My favorite definition of the apostolate is being a channel of divine grace to other people. Everything else we do, preaching, teaching, the practice of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, all of which are indeed useful and even indispensable for apostolic work. Well, the essence of the apostolate is communicating grace. Merely repeating my words will not bring out what is absolutely necessary to be understood. God hear it. God does not give his grace except through other people. None of us would be here today except that someone who held the faith have a divinely chosen channel of grace here of faith to us. And of course, speaking of families, in the measure in which father and mother are themselves closely united with God, only in that measure will there be channels of grace to their children. And nothing can substitute for the holiness of father and mother. Nothing. In parishes, none of us has any illusion on what is going on in one once flourishing parish after another. The 42 parishes that the Archdiocese of Detroit closed in about 18 months is only symbolic of what is going on in one diocese after another. And it is here especially, how it pains me to say this, it is here especially the strong faith of the laity. He is so indispensable when so many, may God have mercy on us, so many religious have given up their religious commitment. And so many priests have abandoned their priesthood. Someone must keep the faith alive. In other words, what the parishes need more than ever before is strongly believing and zealously apostolic lay people. For 26 years, this has been my principal directive from the Holy See. Enlighten the laity. Inspire the laity on their responsibility. Then dioceses. The same picture. And this is where we could spend a whole semester just describing how deeply some lay people have penetrated dioceses. But as you know, some of the most influential people in a diocese are not the most believing Catholics. I hope I am clear. There are times when I'm more specific. But I hope I'm clear. And how those who may still call themselves Catholics, what word shall I use? Zealous? That wouldn't be true. How ambitious they are to promote their ideas. And where are we? We who have the faith. We should have something, as Christ tells us, remember? The children of this world are much wiser than the children of light. Then associations that are courted among the dedicated faithful. Today is Sunday. Yesterday I was in Chicago. Spoke to some 300 lay people. All wanting to do everything they can to both learn their faith and share it with others. All I can tell you, and I mean this with all my heart, your faith strengthens mine, because I see the future of the church in good hands. But I repeat, number one, you must be holy. No substitute for sanctity. Secondly, you must understand your faith. Thirdly, you must be, and I use the word, ambitious in communicating that faith to others. And fourth, you must be organized. Sometimes I use the word mobilized. There is so much to do. When St. Francis Xavier rode back to Europe from India and told the people who knew back, say, in France and Spain, he told them, I see souls falling into hell like snowflakes in winter. I don't have the authority of Francis Xavier, but only God knows. Only He knows. But I think I can safely say there are souls in America that are being lost. Lost because of the lack of zeal. First among those who should be strong in promoting the true faith. And then for all of us. Thank God that, as I'm sure you have, a desire to learn your faith and a strong zeal to share that faith with others. And I told the audience yesterday, over the years in teaching my own Jesuits, I told them, never give even a short homily, not to say a lecture, without telling the people to do something. So I told him, yesterday was March 30th, right? March 30th, 1997. Every one of you, do you hear me? Every one of you, I said, at least one convert. This is March 31st. I'm saying the same to you. At least one convert by the 31st of March, 1997. All right? Of course, the more converts, the better. Either those who had lost the faith, given up the faith they once professed. All those who have never had the privilege of belonging to the one true church. Question 54. What are the main features of the group apostolate? The group apostolate of the laity calls for concerted action, mutual support among the members, caliber training for the apostolate, judicious assignment and direction in apostolic activities. Most important is that the members cooperate and do not act on their own. Over the years, the Lord has given me the privilege of organizing various lay groups. This is a synthesis, as you notice, from the Vatican document. But every statement there is crucially important. There's just so much that we can do as individuals. And when a group works together, it is not only that numerically, if 10 people are working, you can do, well, 10 times as much good as only one individual could achieve. It's much deeper. Remember Christ's words, speaking symbolically, where two or three are gathered together in my name, now I am specially in their midst. How well I know how zealous individuals can be. Oh, how pious, how religious, soaked in holy water, reeking with incense. But selfish. It is concerted action. Let me tell you, one of the hardest things is to get. I have to say it. Orthodox Catholics to cooperate. It almost seems there's an inverse proportion between their orthodoxy and their selfless readiness to work with others. And this is where the children of this world can teach us so much. How organized. Say, General Motors, Ford Motor Company. And as you know, either you cooperate or, well, too bad, how sad, you're out. Cooperating with one another mutual support among the members. And that mutual support includes, I have to say it, financial mutual support. My 26th year in working for the Holy See, the present exchange, I think, is 900 lire to a dollar. In 26 years, I have not received, I don't see $1. I haven't received 1 lire from the Vatican for my services. Those who have the means, I'm speaking now of financial means, should use them in advancing the faith throughout the world. Mutual support. Careful training for the apostolate. How well I know. I entered the Society of Jesus after finishing my university undergraduate studies. And then I was the order. I counted them. 17 years before I was allowed to pronounce my final vows. St. Ignatius had no illusions. Zeal is not enough. Even piety is not enough. There must be training. Years of training. Judicious assignment and direction in apostolic activities. Tomorrow, I'm leaving for Washington to give a retreat to Mother Teresa's sisters, those awaiting their final vows. And how well I know, as I've told the missionaries of charity, you people are a modern miracle. Some 400 novices throughout the world. The secret is obedience. In other words, not just, well, scattered activity, but somebody is in charge. And those in charge not only have authority, as you might have in a political society, but authority to tell people what to do and bind them even under pain of sin. Most important is the members cooperate and do not act on their own. Question 55. What is an important concern for the group they apostolate? It is most important that the laity form a well-organized unit, fervently devoted to their apostolic purpose, and strongly united among themselves. The reason for this is to ensure protection from pressure of public opinion or of social institutions. In a word, while fully loyal to church authority, the apostles must preserve a genuine autonomy in their work for souls. How much is locked up in this short answer? Notice, to ensure protection from pressure of public opinion. We are all naturally conformists. Except for God's grace, we are slaves of human respect. How we want people to think well of us. And how we dread. I don't say people doing something or saying something against us. Even to think bad of us, we are frightened, we are scared. It may not appear on the surface, but in group apostolic work among the laity, on the one hand, there must be someone who is in charge of the organization or the association. And on the other hand, each lay apostle remains an individual person. And over the centuries, some of the most zealous lay apostolic activities have floundered, weakened, and died out. For the leaders in the lay apostolate were so dominant over their members as to inhibit the individual zeal and be faithful to God's grace, as each one receives grace from God. I could be very, very specific, but I forbear. In other words, working together in a group is not only highly desirable, it is needed in the church. The church herself is, well, an institution with authority. However, I repeat, in the lay apostolate, the risk is that those who are leaders are liable to so dominate the individuals as not only to inhibit, I repeat, not only to inhibit the activity of individuals, but prevent the activity of divine grace. The last sentence in that 55 also deserves some comment. While fully loyal to church authority, lay apostles must preserve a genuine autonomy in their work for souls. That statement could not have been made for 1900 years until the Second Vatican Council. Among the marvels of God's grace through the Second Vatican Council is the realization that certainly the laity in doing apostolic work are to be, as we say, fully loyal to church authority. On the other hand, and I repeat, never before in church history has a council of the church declared explicitly that lay apostolic work, organized, even highly structured, need not be organized by the bishops, need not be under the immediate authority of the bishops. What is necessary, of course, is that church here, hierarchical authority, be both respected and honored. But, provided in a diocese, a lay group is allowed to exercise its apostolic work, they can both organize on their own, operate on their own, and do what under God they believe needs to be done. Always, I repeat, assuming, let's call it permission from the bishop of the diocese. In other words, there is more autonomy now recognized by the General Council of the Church, the 21st, Second Vatican, There is more autonomy in the lay apostolate than there had ever been recognized in the church's 2,000 years of history. One more comment on 55. When we speak of hierarchy or church authority, most of us spontaneously think, well, of the local bishop, the episcopate, the chancery. And we should, for the bishops are successors of the apostles. However, I'll never forget the lecture I attended in Rome, and Pope Pius XII was speaking to several thousand and told them, please do not forget that the Holy See is not just part of the hierarchy. It is in charge of the hierarchy. Now, with St. Ignatius' vision, and he had a hard time getting the Society of Jesus approved. It took years. Then when one pope died and his successor was elected, Ignatius had great fears how the next pope would just not approve the Society of Jesus, would erase it. So he ordered all the priests of the then small Society of Jesus to offer 100 masses each so the Holy Spirit would move the Vicar of Christ and give him the light he needed to approve the Society of Jesus. And it worked. What's the logic? The logic is that the Catholic Church is the Roman Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is not just a collection of dioceses. The Catholic Church is indeed many dioceses with many bishops. But in charge of the whole of the mystical body of Christ on earth is the Bishop of Rome. And the Bishop of Rome can authorize, advise, command, tell people what to do, shall I say it, without first consulting the bishop of the diocese. I cannot tell you how crucially important that is. Question 56. What is the first quality which lay apostolic associations should have? These associations are to promote a strong and intimate unity between the faith of their members and their everyday life. In other words, lay apostles must develop a deep understanding of the Catholic faith, both as individuals and as members of apostolic groups. Though I repeated 1,000 times, I would not have repeated it once too often. Thank you. This is the main reason we are here. The greatest need in the Catholic Church today is for Catholics to understand their faith. And nothing can substitute for that. There are many reasons for that, but especially these. First of all, as we have been saying, the modern world, and surely the United States qualifies, is the most academically educated world in human history. I won't ask for raising of hands, but we just assume that, say, going through high school, perfectly normal. And although it's getting more and more expensive, a college education, as I said more than once, is over 5 million Americans on college campuses every year. Well, let me tell you, having taught some very intelligent Jesuits for 25 years in their theology, the more educated the mind is, the more that mind must be educated in the faith. Otherwise, the inevitable happens. The faith disappears. And again, I keep repeating, even the point of boring people. Christ's parable of the sower, sowing a seed, remember? All good seed, but not all good ground. And the first of that seed falling on the wayside, seed falling on the hard ground, the birds were watching, and they waited patiently until the sower got the seed on the ground. And then every bit of that seed disappeared. The birds picked it up. And Christ tells us, they are those people, having received the faith in their hearts, fail to understand it and watch it, and therefore, consequently, as a result of their not understanding the faith, the evil one, the devil, comes along and steals the faith from their hearts. I repeat, these are not pious platitudes. This is hard, painfully hard reality. Only God knows how many ex-Catholics we have in our country. I think the number is millions. Father and mother I had dinner with some time ago in Chicago. Mother broke down and wept. We had 7 children. The last of the 7, just this year, left the church. And all 7 were given a college education. And that is why, how well I know so many once Catholic colleges, maybe still Catholic in name, as I'm sure you agree, not Catholic in reality. The same mind that is, trained in secular knowledge, must, no option, must be correspondingly trained in religious knowledge, understand the faith, otherwise, as Christ says, evil spirit will steal the faith from their hearts. Question 57. Could I have the time?
2:35.
Could I?
2:32.
2:32?
I might be a little fast. That clock up there says 2:20.
Question 57. What is a model for these apostolic associations? Keeping in mind their apostolic character, these associations should learn from national and international secular institutions. One reason for this is the rapid evolution of modern society, with corresponding development in its institutional structure. CAFE should profit from this development. How backward we can be as Catholics. I did not mind being told this, but my Vatican superior told a friend of mine, please tell Father Hardin to catch up with the 20th century. We are living in the age of the modern media. It is 20 years ago that Pope Paul VI, who I could talk for hours, pleaded with American leaders, Catholic leaders, to exploit the media of communication to teach the Catholic faith. Except for Mother Angelica, as a story all by itself. How little of the media are being used to evangelize, even pre-evangelize people, many of whom know almost nothing about the true faith. 58. How much autonomy do lay associations of the faithful enjoy? The Council tells us, while preserving the necessary link with ecclesiastical authority, and this again is a reaffirmation of what I've been saying before, our being gathered here is not coincidental, believe me. The need for the laity to be trained in the faith and then to share the faith, spread the faith for the laity, I repeat, deeper and stronger need than ever before since the time of Christ. So, having made the phrase, preserving the necessary link with ecclesiastical authority, the laity have a right to establish and direct their own associations. They have a corresponding right to join existing associations. This is one of the developments of the Catholic apostolate since the Second Vatican Council. I'd like to spend a few minutes explaining that word development. We believe there was what we call development of revelation from the dawn of human history up to the end of the apostolic age. the end of the first century AD. What are we saying? God began to reveal himself from the dawn of human history, as been already in Genesis. Then, century after century, through patriarchs and prophets, God continued to reveal himself. And as you read the last books of the Old Testament, the two books of Maccabees, compare them